This is the point where you're supposed to say something incredibly insightful.
Sorry.
Hello, everybody. Buckle up. This is Again With This, Melrose Place, new season, season 7, episode 1, Divorce Dominican Style. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for bearing with us. Here we are at the final season of Melrose Place. But first, we've got a whole bunch of business to do. So let's get into it. First of all, there is no Again With This this Friday because June has 5 Fridays this year somehow. Stupid solstice. Anyway, the next Friday, July 7th, we will be dropping episode 150. Let's watch Jason Priestley in the series finale of the Fantasy Island sequel. That is season 2, episode 13. It's on Hulu if you want to watch along with us.
Series finale. Sigh. I will be sad about that. You'll be able to hear it. In the meantime, the June edition of Again With Them, our monthly recap digest of Jenny and Tori's podcast 90210 OMG, will be dropping this Thursday. Tori returns from sick leave. Chuck Rosen stops by to tell everyone some shit. More. This is a perk for our Patreon supporters at the $5 level and up. So kick up that pledge. Pay us to listen to it for you. All of that and so much more is at againwiththispodcast.com/club.
Yes. Iconic. JK. One more thing. Thank you again so much to all the listeners who have called, texted, and emailed with their pitches for the show the podcast should cover once we finish up a season 7 of Melrose 16 years from now. We have made a decision, and if you will just bear with us, there is one listener specifically whom we want to be the first to know.
Hello.
Hello, is this Dave in Texas?
Yeah! No abortions for you.
Listen, Dave, we wanted to give you some good news, even though you're already being kind of a dick. We have taken your suggestion, as well as the many other people who tweeted, hashtagged, I'm with Dave. Our next show shall be Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek. Why? Why do you have to be like that?
Could have been worse. Could have been the diaphragm.
That's true. Anyway, that's it.
Hashtag crying Dawson GIF.
Thanks for calling in, Dave. We're going to let you go now.
Out to get some brisket and tacos.
Oh, God.
So, thank you to everyone who made their voices heard. And we want to also say specifically for those who suggested other single season shows, we have been having some very, very, very preliminary talks in-house about covering one of those as a Patreon stretch goal. So please stay tuned for an announcement on that once we have figured all of it out on our end. And now, as I check my phone, because I just got a text.
I don't want to wait for this call to be answered.
Hi, this is Faye with blah, blah.
Yeah, this is exciting.
We're next on the schedule. As soon as the plumbing technician is finished at the job they're on now, I will reach out to let you know they are on the way if you need anything before then.
Fantastic. In case you're wondering, dear listeners, what that all that's about, our water heater is broken. We haven't showered in 2 weeks. There's like flies buzzing around us. They look like a little cartoon. That's exactly why. Yeah.
The Dave's at night. Smell like shite. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Deep in the heat of Texas.
There it is.
Pew, pew. That is why I am currently sitting here in a Rosie the Riveter scarf situation, even though I did take a shower last night, but I did not wash my hair.
I thought that was a fashion choice, and I approved it silently.
It can be two
and
things.
Now, audibly.
Now, all of that aside, let us get into this episode, starting with our B plot. Jesus Christ, how has the Sam, Billy, Jennifer, Jeff, Quadrangle oozed into a whole new fucking season?
Oh.
All right. We have now had it confirmed via Discord. The last 6 episodes of season 6 were held back and aired in the summer for reasons that have not been stated to us. So that is how it's happened. This was only supposed to have been season 6, episode 27. I am still outraged. I know Sarah is.
Yeah. It's Billy. Get on with it. Thank you. Yeah.
So when Billy comes out for coffee in the morning, he sees Sam on the phone telling someone not to stand her up and glares at her. And when she hangs up, she correctly guesses the stink eye was because he assumed that was Jeff. But she hasn't talked to him since the hospital, and she will not talk to him again. Amanda's getting her place painted while she's away. More on that later. Sam's supposed to let the guy in. That was him. But never mind any of that. Sam has so much to tell Billy, but she could save it because he doesn't trust or even like her right now. Ooh. So he's still pouting when Sam gets home late from work later, claiming traffic. And Billy's like, I didn't hit any. Like, that means nothing. It's fucking Los Angeles. There can be traffic anywhere, anytime. Mm-hmm. So then she's annoyed that he's going to be suspicious of everything she ever says. Not to take his side, she was quite successfully sneaking around for weeks. So she really can't blame him now for that, honestly, now that the truth has come out. But
yeah.
It turns out Billy has been stewing because she got a piece of mail he assumes is from Jeff. She doesn't want to open it, so he does. Clip two.
Oh, dear Sam, oh, he doesn't have a pet name for you. I bet you have one for him. He won't take my calls. You won't see me. I had no choice. I don't want to make more waves, but I care about you too much. You cheated on me with someone who only cares about you? In my book, that makes you a tramp.
Oh, this is sick.
Now you just stay right here. I'm gonna read this right now. What I feel for you, I've never felt before. It's like you're a part of me, the best part. I love you so much. You said you loved me too. And that you'd never felt this way with Billy. You worship and love me. How could you do this to me? I loved you. How could you do this? Huh? How could you? This is sick!
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
This is so stupid.
This is his worst acting yet, and you know I don't say that lightly. It's so bad.
It's really, really over the top.
This is sick! No.
No.
That's not really the line. Okay, you know what? No one cares.
Right. But and maybe they were counting on, like, you know, no one's going to remember what happened. This was months and months ago. But, like, Sam has already forgotten. She saw Billy and Jennifer kissing. We're going to find that out shortly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Billy's whole, this is sick, is really undercut when in his next scene, he's at the jazz club moping about it to his own fucking girlfriend. So, like, get off your high horse. Either decide you're going to open this marriage and see what happens. I know that's not going to occur. It's the 90s. But or just realize you both don't like each other and this is actually fine. Like, for real.
Yeah. Yeah, like what happened on your wedding day should have given you a hint. And now here's another hint. Breakup. Yeah. You hate each other, or like you're both so boring. I don't think it rises to the level of hatred, but
great point.
Either way.
So when Billy.
Enough.
Yes. So when Billy curtly blows off Jennifer's attempt to take his drink order, she crouches down next to his chair and says she needs reassurance sometimes. And are all the declarations that they made the other night still true? Clip three.
I love you.
It's a hollow word.
Your wife cheats on you and I get the fallout. Billy, I'm not Sam.
Why, because you tell the truth? We don't have any secrets?
Okay, you want me to lay it all out on the table?
No.
I will. But I want you to know that the only reason I kept quiet was to spare you. No, I knew it for months. Sam was doing the dirty deed with Jeff.
Months.
You want details? Ask your wife.
No, I'm asking you.
I'm out of the Gala Committee Awards. I was your date because Sam was in San Diego hitting home runs with the guy.
She said she had a business day.
Yeah, well, she said a lot of things that weren't true, Billy. Where are you going?
Sam had a dinner meeting tonight. I'm going to make sure it went okay.
Oh. Why? You're off the hook.
Yeah, honestly.
Also, it's you. Just... You do not deserve Jennifer, but do not wait around for her to figure that out. Mm-mm. Break up with Sam, go with Jennifer, you're fine.
Yeah. Ugh. Also, no one believes you're going to go see if it went okay. You're going to go make sure it was a work thing. And we next see Billy stalking Sam outside of the restaurant, saying goodbye to two old client-ass-looking white men. So he curses himself out for having followed her. But no sooner has he left than Jeff pulls up behind the valet that's returning Sam's car and he pulls her into an alleyway because he got her scheduled from a temp at work. Temp is fired. He loves Sam. He's never going to stop. He kisses her and she kisses back and then they just stare at each other for a while. So, you know, now that everything's out in the open, it's already less hot for everyone, it seems.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about the fact that he is functionally a stalker, but because he's not Billy and isn't cheating on anyone, I guess we're supposed to think that that's sort of romantic and compelling.
Well, Billy's also stalking her, so it seems like these are just her options. That's how it is here on Melrose Place.
Stalker who can't act or stalker who doesn't know how to cheer at a baseball game. No thanks. Get into girls. Do it now.
Yeah. Anyway, the next day, Jeff is bringing packed luggage through his weird fucking house when Jennifer shows up unannounced. A friend of his in Arizona owns a chain of sports stores and offered him a job. Sam is a lost cause and he is sick of the bullshit. This is quite a turn from saying he's never going to stop loving her, which was last night. But anyway, Jeff could tell from the way Sam kissed him that she is over him. And Jennifer gravely says she hasn't been totally honest with Jeff, but since this is just about their fourth conversation, he's like, whatever, and has no reaction to her confession of her affair with Billy, which she tells him to use to get Sam back. This is also when, I mean, I never thought it could get weirder than the barber pulls, but they're having this part of the argument underneath multiple fringed light fixtures that look like they're from... like a pizza parlor or something. They are, it's obviously they're in the visual aids. They are insane. Mm-hmm. Like every corner of this house, I really want to find out where this location is and like go there and see if it is still decorated like this inside. Cause it's obviously a real house. It's not a standing set.
Yeah. It's like the Neon Museum in Las Vegas, but like random mid-century props. And it's like, oh, well, we could bring this from the halfway cafe. Can you?
Yes. Sidebar. Neon Graveyard in Las Vegas, super worth a visit. It's very cool. We've been there. So anyway, Jeff tries to arm grab Jennifer out the door, but she shakes him off. He loves Sam and he should fight for her. For now, he does finally successfully get rid of her. And when Sam gets home from work that night, Jeff's waiting at her door with something to tell her about Billy, who then walks into the courtyard right on cue. There is an arm grab in the course of this. It is certainly in the visual aids, but for now, clip four.
Well, well, well. My wife and her lover are at it again.
I didn't invite him. He just showed up and now he's leaving.
Look, I'll go. Just so you know, your self-righteous husband and good friend Jennifer Mann Sr. are having their own affair behind your back.
Come on, no.
I'm not lying to you, Sam, I swear.
Is it true? Oh, you are such a hypocrite. The bedroom is down the hall. Pack my things. I'll be back in a minute.
Don't even think about going into my bedroom. Oh, are you gonna stop me?
Yeah, I'll stop you.
Hello, Tara speaking.
Oh.
Hot water, don't you cry for me.
Hey, how are you? 30 to 45 minutes, guys.
All right. Go, go, go.
All right. Sam, you fucking saw them kiss. Like, why are you acting surprised about this?
Like, well, and like, go pack my stuff.
I know. Like, okay, your majesty.
Yeah. Also, his knee fell off. Do it yourself. Yeah. Hag.
Yes. So, hilariously, we hear stuff getting like thrown around and broken downstairs from Jeff and Billy fighting off screen as Sam goes up to confront Jennifer at her place. Clip five.
Oh, thank God it's all out in the open. I am so relieved. I'll give you relief, slut.
I love how much work the guitar is doing, like, just generally in mm-hmm. this storyline, because yes. the actors, except for Milano, can't really do it. Actually, mm-hmm. Dan Gauthier is fine. Mm-hmm. He's just obliged to perform Love for Sam, which, as if. But, like, I love that the guitar is like, this is intense. It's like, is it, though? Right. Totally. Imitation crab meat, McGee, and I just don't. I know she's a foot taller than Alyssa Milano. I don't buy for a second that Jen couldn't kill her with one kick to the pelvis.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly. A shoving match ensues. They end up against the railing, choking each other out, but no one falls. They just roll over to Kyle's door. Kyle, fortunately for him, is not there. But Sam's grunts are loud enough that we cut back downstairs, where Jeff hears this and is concerned about her, losing focus enough for Billy to punch him and then run out to pull Sam off Jennifer, clip six.
You're hurting her!
I'm hurting her. I'd like to kill her. No kidding!
You want somebody to blame? Blame me. Blame yourself. Blame us. We're the ones that blew the marriage, right? She's the innocent one.
She has the wool pulled so over your eyes, along with other parts of your anatomy.
I resent that totally.
Me too. Come on, let's get out of here.
Gladly.
I'm sorry about all this. Listen, I'll finish getting you packed. Let's get you moved into my place, okay?
I'm not moving anywhere. I need to be alone.
Yes, be alone off the show. Go back to your mom or also, mother again.
Yeah, but he already packed your stuff, so... Is this your stuff just going to go live at his weird house?
Oh, I'm sure she's planning to go crash at Amanda's since she has the keys, but we don't see that.
Good point. Totally forgot about that.
Because this is where we leave these idiots for now. Moving on to the A-plot. All the doctors and all their past and current partners are still in crisis, but at least Amanda gets to travel. We open the new season-ish back in the DR as Amanda in her extremely practical leather pants get dropped off at the beach where she stayed with Kyle. Sarah, I just want to note, you and I captured the precise same frame where you can see the most amount of the pants, because what else do you wear, first of all, on a plane, second of all, to a tropical destination, than leather slacks? Good Lord.
Let me just say, I understand why she wore them, and it's because her butt is a legend. Mm-hmm. She looks great, but I could hear them creaking, and I started to sweat, like, from the hips down. It's bad. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
No. So when Amanda and Kyle came here to divorce their former spouses, they smooched, and we see this in a flashback. Rory's like, hello, and Amanda snaps out of it to that episode to lie to Rory that she thought this place might bring back memories, but it didn't. Back in LA, Kyle and Jennifer reset their plots. She thinks he should go to the DR before Amanda finalizes their divorce, but he wants Jennifer to join him in spending Amanda's mandatory 48-hour waiting period, learning a lot about the law here, to double-team Taylor and make her confess about Christine, specifically to fake like Kyle told her he wants to marry Taylor, but suspects that she is keeping a big secret. Jennifer doesn't love it, but when he gets down on his literal knees to beg her, she relents. Put these two back together, honestly. I'm sure we've said this before.
Do you think the show forgot?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
So after the credits, a banged-up Peter comes home, blaming Michael for his current state. Considering he is standing there with a cane and a brace on his leg, Lexi takes such a weirdly long time to let him in that one assumes she's hiding something inside, but then she's not. It's just weird, because she is weird. And when she finally gets out of his way, he apologizes to her for having been so shitty before he left, and she is practically weeping as she hugs him and says how much she missed him, and he lets her do it, looking so checked out. Relatable.
Mm-hmm.
When Megan and Coop get back from Philadelphia, it's to Michael supervising the sign guy, busiest man in Los Angeles.
No kidding.
While he puts Michael's name back on the door of the practice, naturally, Coop is suspicious, so Michael catches him up on everything that happened in the woods. And Coop makes a whole bunch of his classic wince faces, which I put in a sixplex, you can see in the visual aids. Michael is sorry to hear that Coop crapped out in Philadelphia. Coop then tries to choke Michael with his tie until Megan stops him, and then he's like, clip 7.
I'm not going to let him get to me. I'm just going to get him.
Okay, three days ago.
Ooh,
A, you. B, 3 days ago, he was like, I'm done with revenge. So great to know we're back on this fucking merry-go-round. And then Megan gets involved. Clip 8.
Michael, can I talk to you for a moment in my office?
Oh, actually, that's my office now. What did you say?
You heard me. And I'd appreciate you getting all your junk out of there.
She's not moving anything until I talk to Peter first.
Be my guest. Talk to your Blue.
So, what am I supposed to do for an office?
Well, since your position as office manager is being terminated due to budgetary reasons, you won't need one. But I guess you could still stick around. Go back to being a receptionist?
Never.
Never's a very long time. I could put in a good word with my best friend, Peter.
You know what, Michael? You can clean out your own damn office. I quit.
Megan. Look, I don't know what kind of game you're playing here, Mancini. But we're not partners, and we're never going to be partners. I don't care what that door says.
Agree. Go back to Cleveland, Borzone.
Yeah. Ugh. Go anywhere. Like,
yeah, anywhere.
I'm not picking. Back in the DR, Rory hits on a well-preserved woman at the bar. Clip 9.
May I?
Oh, of course.
Wow. 5 carats?
Yes, it's severance pay for my third husband. Marry rich, marry often. That's my motto.
MVP, 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 MVP. Look, there's not a lot here to hold on to, folks. I'm just saying.
Yeah, truly. Before Rory can agree, Amanda comes up and snarks about his not having been bored. He comments that jealousy is a good foundation for a marriage. She denies that she is. Rory gets a call, and when Amanda leaves, we learn it's someone named Eddie. Rory has to come up with another 50K or they lose everything. And if you're hoping to find out who Eddie is or what the scheme may be, you're not on either, and it doesn't matter. It's like, this is the part of this that feels least like a season premiere and most like a season finale, even though it wasn't even supposed to be, but regardless. They curse each other out, and then he tries to break the phone, which, like, you should be better at this, Rory, is A. Mm-hmm. B, your next mark is right there. Like, be cool. Go start working on her.
Yeah.
Jesus. Also, yeah. So then Taylor's sitting at the bar at Kyle's when Jennifer comes down on a fake errand and then comments on how happy Kyle is about his impending fatherhood. Jennifer thought Taylor was just doing a lot of comfort eating. Huh? Like, as you'll see in the visual aids, like, that's not how weight gain works. It's
nearly
a baby. It's completely round and the rest of her looks the same. Anyway, Taylor is surprised Kyle told Jennifer about the baby and she's like, as if you could hide it. And then runs Kyle's script about secrets. If Jennifer were Taylor, she would start spilling her guts. And if she had nothing to confess, she would make something up. Not bad advice, honestly. Back, especially if Taylor knows that he's on to her. Like, come up with some other deep, dark secret. Like, put him off the scent.
Yeah. And also, all you do is scheme. How are you so easily led by other people's schemes still?
Right.
She's so bad at this. It's really kind of sad. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Yeah. Back in the suite in the Dominican Republic, Rory has the gigolo blues. Amanda's like, if you're going to be a bitch all the time, I can find some other goon to marry. I'm paraphrasing. At first, Rory mutters that she can go, but then picks up the phone and calls, presumably Eddie, to say he will have the money by the end of the week. And now that he has to, Rory turns his charm dial back on, getting into the shower and claiming pre-wedding jitters before kissing on Amanda while she does a Titanic, like, hand on the stall glass swipe. Because that was the style at the time. It's 1998.
Mm-hmm.
At the hospital the next day, Taylor and her now basketball-sized bump have just caught up Michael. He says not to tell Kyle anything about Christine because he is only fishing for an out. Michael knows because he's a guy. And Taylor's like, you're a shitty guy. And Michael's like, when you're crying in your linguine later, remember this conversation. And Taylor's like, shit. Elsewhere, Peter thanks Dr. Visconti for the use of his cabin. Clip 10.
I feel great. I mean, I got a new girlfriend. Great girl. Got a great job. Got a great new condo. No, things are great.
Peter, when a patient overuses the word great to describe their life, alarms go off.
Well, I'm not a patient.
And I don't think you're here just to say thanks.
Okay, maybe. Maybe things aren't that great. But they're not so bad.
When a patient says...
All right, all right. Why does everybody get what they want? Huh? Answer me that. Lexi gets an apology from me. Michael gets his job back. The same with Coop. And what do I get? The big fat Zippo. That's for me. And I just happened to hear that my ex-wife is down in the Caribbean frolicking around with her new boy toy. Now, what is wrong with this picture?
Well, I've got a free hour. Why don't you tell me?
Start the clock.
Lexi is so boring, but Peter is so funny.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Back to the resort. In the gift shop, Amanda sure is being pissy about trying on a ring that Rory picked out for her, considering she has presumably been standing next to him this whole time, including when he pointed to the one he wanted. Like, where did you think he was going with this? But she's not ready for a ring yet and stalks out. And he chases her, babbling that he's falling for her, and if it's not mutual, she should tell him. She doesn't find his insecurity attractive. And when we see them next, they're in some tourist trap where Rory's dragging Amanda to a fortune teller against her will, right up until she lets him pull her inside the tent. And the cards say Amanda's been hurt by love more than once. Haven't we all, says Amanda. Accurately, when the fortune teller agrees, but love has never worked for Amanda and the cards say it never will. Amanda needs a lifelong friend and companion who wants what's best for her and also shouldn't back out of previous agreements. And Amanda tells Rory to pay the lady, asking how much he already paid for her to support his agenda. And suddenly this woman doesn't speak English. Respect. This is how you got to get by when you're a tourist trap. Mm-hmm. And outside, Amanda decides she likes Rory's having gone the extra mile to get what he wants. Whatever. And then Taylor is in the kitchen at Kyle's, closing up when Kyle finds her and flirts. Could be the best night of their lives if he makes love to her, she says. And he kisses her for as short a time as he thinks he can get away with before saying he's not ready to take the next step. In Boston, they had the perfect marriage because they shared everything, except his affair with Jennifer and her lingering forbidden love of Peter. But other than that, totally.
Mm-hmm.
He wants them to get back to where they were, but her secrets are pushing him away. She insists there's nothing to tell. Clip 11.
You know what? Now I'm sorry, because my whole life I've lied and I've gotten really good at it. But now, when I'm telling you the truth, you don't believe me. You know what? I don't blame you, because I don't deserve you, Kyle. But my babe, our baby does. And that's all the truth that matters. I'm gonna go. Good night, Kyle.
This is the most basic thing that you have to try to keep secret. I mean, she doesn't know that he knows, but she knows. Like, keep it up. Mm-hmm. This is easy. You should be able to get in the mindset of your character. Anyway, she leaves. Kyle smashes his own shit off a ledge, which, like, now you have to pick it up and wash it, you fucking idiot. It's a kitchen. The next day at their place, Coop is telling Megan to take some time before she gets a new job, and notably not saying that as a partner in the business that fucked her over, he is going to seek redress on her behalf as one of the people in charge. And if she wants to stay home and raise their family, that would be fine with him too. Ugh, of course it would. And that is when she comes out in tight black pants and a black wrap top because Jennifer got her a job at the Jazz Club. She proudly turns in a circle for him. And as much as she is a flatline to me, she looks great. Sorry. Mm-hmm. but Coop has decided to be a bitch about it. Clip 12.
I think we should have discussed it first. Look, I'm not sure I want you, you know, hustling tips and fighting off drunks.
Oh, come on. It's just upstairs. We're not talking about some biker bar or something. Besides, I'm comfortable there. They don't look happy. But you know what? I won't be happy either if I'm financially dependent on you.
Why?
I just won't, even though I'm crazy in love with you.
He interrupts her. That's why the clip ends in that weird way. But we should have discussed it. I wish you had told me is like, that's the limit. Like, yeah. It's her own money. She's in charge of it. Leave her alone. You're not even married yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then Kyle is coming out of his place at the same time Jennifer's leaving hers. His next move is to dump Taylor. He's pretty sure she'll be desperate enough not to lose him that she will tell the truth to try to stop him, which he definitely really has no clue what her secret actually is if he thinks Taylor will think telling it to him would cement their relationship. But,
well, but maybe his angle is that she's really like shitty at this, like right. She sucks at it, so it's like, well, you know, a real schemer who knows how to do this wouldn't respond to this, but
right,
Taylor would because she's dumb. I don't know.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Knocking on her door is the very next thing he does, telling her he's done, he can't get past the lies. She doesn't know where this is coming from. He doesn't know what she's gone through for him, and he's like, okay, what? She says he has to promise he won't hate her. He does not promise that, but she keeps talking anyway. And her version is pretty self-serving, but it is basically the truth as we know it. He is only slightly thrown by the news that the Christine who came back was just some other lady who looked like her. Like, I know we're on a soap, but he doesn't. But anyway, Taylor monologues on through the whole story, including the suicide note she faked at the hotel and that Nick ended up trying to kill Taylor, but magnanimously says that's not important. Clip 13.
Oh, God. I feel so much better. How do you feel? Kyle? Sweetie?
Sweetie. You're evil, and you make me sick.
No, my confession meant to bring us closer together.
Why? Because you're having my baby? Even that's a lie.
No.
I've known the whole time, Taylor. That's not my baby. It's the best news I ever got.
God, please. I'll do anything to make it up to you. Please.
Not in this lifetime.
Kyle, no. Kyle, please don't go. I'm nothing without you.
You're nothing, period. And someday even that kid of yours is going to know it.
Oof. But.
Yeah.
But.
And there's just a lot of information that gets breezed right past here. Like that fake Christine got manslaughtered just for one.
Yeah.
Ugh,
yeah.
Show. Anyway.
Yes. That said, Lisa Rinna is reading on. God, it's so good. The open is so funny. As we're recording this, the news has just come out that she's going to be in season 3 of American Horror Stories. And I know she is bad and Ryan Murphy is bad. And a lot of the things he has made for television are bad. But I kind of not against this pairing. Honestly, I think it's going to work out. And like, as Sarah said, she's got the vibe for his stuff.
She absolutely does.
Well, watch the space. Anyway, that night, Michael's drinking at the jazz club when he notices Megan running drinks and belligerently tries to order her around. And when she's short with him, he gets up and yells to everyone not to tip her. She tries to shut him up, but can't. And she also won't serve him anymore and says she's calling him in a cab, but he's not done. Clip 14.
Hey, waitresses are supposed to take orders, not give them, okay?
You know what? I don't know why I bother to care.
Oh, maybe because I'm back on top again, huh? Just like Dr. Lorna was on top of you. Oh.
That was you? You told that pompous degenerate that I was an ex-hooker?
For the record, I was gunning for Coop.
Oh, and that's supposed to make a difference. You know, Lorna's a sex addict. He would jump anything in his skirt. He almost raped me, Michael. And at the moment, I don't see any difference between that and what you did to Coop and me.
Hey, hate you.
Oh, come on. Hate me, lovey. Make up your mind,
you
honey.
Know what?
Please, hey.
You have humiliated me for the last time. I'm getting off your roller coaster, and if it wasn't going to give me so much pleasure to hold this over you, I would tell Coop right now.
Now, later. Big deal.
You better believe it is. You know how Coop feels about you, what he's capable of. He finds out you blew his dream, he'll kill you. But before he kills you, he'll convince Peter to boot you out of the practice and the hospital, and you'll end up looking for a clinic again on the wrong side of town. Are we clear?
Okay, if they didn't both assume Michael had told Larner, how do they think he found out?
Yeah.
Like, I'm serious. I mean, this is obviously start the clock on, you know, this secret coming out anyway from Megan,
right,
like blurting it out, or Michael just bringing it up in a fight to try to win or whatever. But
right,
it's so silly. It's really, really dumb.
Yeah. How did they think he knew?
No idea. Like,
so, you know, while you're being self-righteous, think about the fact that you're also maybe too stupid to live on your own, either of you.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Anyway, at the marina, Lexi is laying it on a bit thick with the loud sex enjoyment while Peter lies on his back looking like he is not even really trying. And when she says she loves him, he says nothing. And at the resort, Rory has his shirt unbuttoned to gigolo levels of, you know, mid-chest as he drinks on the couch. Kyle calls to tell Amanda he is on his way so they can straighten things out face-to-face. She orders him not to waste his money, but he ignores her, saying he loves her. She tells him not to call her again ever, slams the phone down, and comes out to get more champagne. And when Rory asks who calls, she said it wasn't anyone important and proposes a toast to quickie divorces and quickier marriages. Clip 15.
Look, Amanda.
Shh. Let's not spoil the evening with more talk, okay?
No, it's not okay. I have to say this.
Well, I'll marry you. What more do you want?
Look, Amanda, I don't believe in happy endings any more than you do.
Good.
Amanda, like, I've been dating since I was 13. I never spent more than a couple of days without a girlfriend or a warm body. Hell, I'm the envy of all my buddies. But it really took a lot out of me. You know, I'm just tired of the chase. Down on romance. Look, I know you don't love me. They just complicate things anyway. You and I can give each other what we need.
And what do you think I need?
Keep the big bad wolf away from your door. Kyle's not the type to give up easy. Hell, he's even calling you down here. What you need is a friend you can trust. Great sex.
And what do you need?
Just the great sex.
Take off your clothes. Got a deal. Ugh.
Him?
Honestly.
He's just so bleh.
Yes.
Yeah.
This
no thanks.
One of her worst plot lines ever, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the contortions they had to go through to get her here are so dumb. But the next morning... Yeah. Peter's back on the couch unloading on Dr. Visconti. Lexi's a beautiful woman who loves him, but maybe he needs to be tormented to be happy. Why can't he just love Lexi like she loves him? Dr. V asks if Peter's seeing someone else on the side, but no, his cheating days are over. Clip 16.
When you fantasize about sex, is Lexi part of the fantasy? Of course you have a partner.
You mean other than myself?
I really enjoyed his reaction to his great joke getting iced. He's like, no, fine, because we're not doing bits in therapy. Peter finally admits he thinks about Amanda all the time. She's the only woman he ever put on a pedestal. He blew it with her, but he still loves her. Yeah, dude, we've been knowing. We've been saying this for like two seasons.
God, no kidding.
So Peter watches Dr. Visconti and realizes his problem is that he is still in love with Amanda. Speaking of whom, we go back to the resort. Rory asks the concierge for a recommendation on a remote beach to take Amanda to, and the concierge is Ian Gomez! Woo!
Love this.
So
love
great.
This. happened to freeze frame it, like wasn't really paying attention, and then was like, oh my God, yeah. Is that Javier? Yay.
He has a brochure for some of the small islands off the coast and can arrange a boat to take them with a picnic. And Rory gives Ian Gomez some cash, saying he doesn't want anyone to know about the trip. Nothing suspicious about that. And then Amanda's there telling Rory her divorce is official and she wants to go drink about it. Again, paraphrasing. Over to the practice, Michael and Coop's screaming match has just escalated to shoving when Megan arrives in a very dumb outfit you can see in the visual aids and pulls them apart. Michael ordered a $5,000 piece of medical equipment for the office that Coop doesn't think they need. Not to agree with him, but since they literally never have patients there, he is probably right. Coop suspects Michael's getting kickbacks from the supplier. Megan asks Michael if he doesn't think he should take more time to settle back in before spending the practice's money. And after their exchange last night, Michael backs down and apologizes. And Coop asks how she did that, and she avoids answering. Content warning for the rest of the episode, basically, suicide. We are in the car with Michael as he activates his tape deck with a cassette on self-help, clip 17.
Repeat after me. I am invincible.
Michael, I am invincible.
Michael, have you been drinking?
What? Oh, no, I was just... never mind. What's wrong now, Taylor?
I've lost Kyle forever.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
No, really, I mean, I want the best for you and your baby. For very unselfish reasons. So, next time you ask for my advice, take it.
There won't be a next time. I've called to say goodbye, Michael.
Goodbye? Where are you going?
Far, far away. Thanks for being my only friend, Michael.
Taylor? Taylor? Are you there?
It's unfortunate that they contrasted his very funny phone answer with where it ended, but there we are.
Yeah. I don't think she was directed particularly appropriately either in this scene. Mm-mm.
And then in the DR, Amanda's getting married for the second time in like a month. She takes Rory with obvious reservations. He takes her with practically visible dollar signs in his eyes, and they're about to kiss when Kyle bursts in. And under the boardwalk or wherever Taylor is, she touches up her lip gloss, fluffs her hair, touches her belly, and starts the car, sending carbon monoxide in through the hose that she has rigged up in the dark while pregnant. Sure. And that's where we leave things for now. I don't think even at the time people thought Melrose Place is going to kill off a pregnant lady, but, you know. Spoiler, I guess. They don't. Oof. Let's close up by naming our episode MVP. I mean, Sarah's already spoiled this one.
I sure did, and I stand by it.
Good job, ring lady at the bar. I'm going to say Ian Gomez. Looking so cute, so young, so smiley, already bald, but what can you do?
Adorable.
Least valuable player. I mean,
standards and practices for allowing yet another suicide related plot, not only to go forward, but again, to be played like not for laughs exactly, but like as this cutesy thing that is not a real issue. Mm-hmm. Like it's just gross and off-putting, and talk about out of ideas. Like any other way to move these things forward, any other way. Mm-hmm. It's just insensitive. I don't like it.
I agree. And yet I'm going to say not Rory, because, you know, she knew he was a scorpion from the first second they met, but Amanda, who should know better.
Yep. Agree. Next time on Again With This, is Billy and Sam's long-awaited split paralleling a certain other IRL starfirst couple whose marriage has been DOA for what seems like a decade? Is Rory literally toxic? And does Lexi need to Google appropriate surrender attire? We may not be able to answer all of these questions, but we'll confront them nevertheless in next week's podcast.
In the meantime, you can confront your retini with our visual aids, which you'll find for this and every other episode of Again With This at againwiththispodcast.com. Join us on Patreon for dozens and dozens and dozens of bonus episodes. And if you join at the $5 level and up, you can listen to us talk about Garth and Spelling Cast 902 and OMG instead of listening to it yourselves, which you should not ever do. Do this. againwiththispodcast.com/club. I'm Alfresco Hotel Room Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Letterhead Power Struggle Part the 14th, Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, has got a deal. Talk to you next time.
You better put in your diaphragm.
Oh, Dave! God damn it.